Well, if you're the kind of person who enjoys the breaking news of Kim and Kanye getting divorced, of Dr. Dre being in the hospital, of the...
Wow, you sound enthusiastic.
The girl from, the girl from Queen's Gambit getting to keep her wardrobe. You have tuned in to the Ray radio station.
I want to pump up the jam there.
I'm trying to stay positive. It's a weird day.
It is a weird day.
So let's talk about other stuff.
All right, let's talk about other weird stuff.
Yeah, it is. Well, here, before we get to any music things, this was in the Star Tribune today, and you know, we have a very soft spot in her heart for the Wildcat Sanctuary in Sandstone, Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Tammy
has been on, when she started it.
Yeah,
was on
the
show.
She's the founder, executive director, and it's not a wildcat sanctuary where people can never go in and see this. They are literally rescuing like the cats and big animals that are kept in states where it's not against the law. So anyway, there was just like the most amazing. This is a Facebook alert if you're getting very stressed out about, and everything is going to be okay, but we are really just having a moment in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That's very upsetting. But if you want to look at, they have a tiger. And of course, they always get animals when something shuts down. And Dash is a 6-week-old Bengal tiger cub that was taken in along with his parents and two elderly lions by Wildcat Sanctuary after a private facility in Indiana shut down. So apparently Indiana is... You know, we got to get that Big Cat Safety Act passed. But Indiana, you know, maybe the people that own these animals, maybe it's a zoo.
I think that law did go through, Laura.
No, it has passed the Senate.
Oh, okay.
It passed in the House. There are 8 states that still think it's fine for people to own tigers and lions and bears and have them be at your house and breed them and charge an admission and... Okay. What we saw in Tiger King.
I'm
Joe
so
Exotic.
Glad. Yeah, I never watched that dumb thing.
So anyway, if you go to Wildcat Sanctuary's Facebook page, and you can see them feeding this little 6-week-old Bengal cub, and I think it's a good way too for Tammy to get out there because, I mean, it costs like $80,000 a year to feed a big cat.
Right. And she's trying to take them out of...
rescues them.
Yeah,
I mean,
she does.
They are known as one of a handful of places in the United States that if, you know, a state all of a sudden has a cub, 2 tiger parents, and 2 elderly lions, who are you going to call? The closest sanctuary for Indiana would be to call Tammy and the folks up at Wildcat. So they go and get it and, you know, do all of that. So, I mean... You're an animal lover. You're going to maybe want to see this. And if you have a few extra dollars, you could give that. But, I mean, the face
it's
of
cute.
This cub.
It's cute.
I mean.
Not as cute as Hank. Hank, the new puppy.
Oh, the golden doodle.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is it a golden doodle?
It's a miniature golden doodle. Yeah. Like, there's different...
Hank needs another name.
I told you, I can't stand the name Hank.
Hank the man. Hank the man.
Hank the tank.
Hank the tank.
Hank is my sister's new doggy in Montana, and it is the cutest dog.
Montana people like to shorten things up. They like to speak in as few sentences as possible. Give your name a short cat,
I mean,
Tom,
Rocco,
Bob.
Do you have a cat or dog?
We've had a couple cats in our history, but no, we're currently pet-free.
Yeah, do you like that?
I do enjoy being pet free.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a lot of work for a lot of people, but I just feel like animals should have 2 syllables. They need Hanky, like Panky or something. Just
Hanks, even.
Hanks, like Jinx.
Hanks,
it's a funny name.
It's very Montana.
It's funny. But boy, if you want to get yourself to smile looking at puppies and stuff, that does work, Lori. I have to admit, it's the dumbest thing. But if you're feeling sad and blue and you just look at puppies, they do make you laugh.
Yeah.
And babies doing cute things makes you smile.
Caesar and Logan are the parents, the tiger parents. They're clocking in at just under 500 pounds. And Dash... is 6 weeks old, and he's about 20 pounds.
Do do tigers and lions live long? I mean, do they have this lifespan of a dog, or do they just stay forever?
You know, I can't remember had the Bengal lion guy on from the Ron from the Minnesota Zoo.
Oh, gosh.
I think that they might be a 30 or 40 year.
That long,
but they are the apex predators of the animal kingdom. Yes, tigers are.
And if someone talks you into just taking care of their pet parrot when they go on a long vacation, think twice, because those things last years, 50 years. I mean, remember when we started, we had the lady in with the parrots?
Oh, yeah.
And then she told us
80 years, 80 to 100 years parrots can live.
Don't ever get sucked into that. Just thinking you're going to take care of a parrot for someone who goes on a vacation, never comes back. They last a long time.
I also want you to know that Marlene and Wally are the two elderly lions that have just
Marlene is such an elderly. That's our Auntie Marlene. Lori, what was that little birdie you showed me yesterday that you see by the Mississippi?
Oh, an indigo bunting, but a very colorful bunting, which they look like fat chickadees.
They do
me.
Look like fat chickadees.
Was seen in Maryland, and it had blue, red, yellow, green. The bird watchers are going crazy.
It looked like Toucan Sam, but in a little fat fluffy chickadee.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
So.
All right. Well.
Anyway, that has been our Animal Planet report. And I really am enjoying, I'm on the Wildcat Sanctuary, their Facebook page. I'm enjoying the story about the, you know, their wild at heart lives, because now they really will be able to live as close as they would have if they hadn't have been born in captivity.
That's cool.
They're going to live their wild at heart lives that they were meant to live, Julia.
I'm so glad. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that is brought to you by, who's the Animal Kingdom guy?
Marlon.
We used to have a song, Draco, like Donnie would play.
Oh, like the Mutual of Omaha.
Yes, he would play that. Yeah, he would play it in the background when we go off in these Animal Kingdom things.
They've got a lot. I don't know how many acres the Wildcat Sanctuary has in Sandstone. It's not open to the public or anything, but that was always her thing, is that these animals have been kept in captivity. Dash now, just born at 6 weeks old, you know, so this will be all he knows. But like, they have room
for them to
roam.
Yeah, they do.
And have as close as they could, because they can't, of course, be released in the wild.
No.
And there's, you know.
It's crazy. Well, you know, when I was flying, there's all the animal safety dogs. And I told you about the people.
Emotional rescue animals.
Yes. They are no longer allowed on American Airlines. If anyone's going to be flying American Airlines,
period.
They're changing its rules starting next week. The new Department of Transportation regulations do take effect. The new rules declare that airlines are not required to recognize emotional support animals as service animals and can subject them to the same flight rules as pets, which probably means go underneath where the baggage is. While emotional support animals can be prescribed by mental health professionals, they are not trained to perform physical tasks like service animals are. So you might want to watch out for that, because I'm telling you,
Delta already did it.
Right, Delta, but the wide range of people traveling with their pets to get them just a free baggage was unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Oh,
So it hadn't been put into effect yet? Wasn't put into effect. You were home for the New Year.
I saw it outbound, but I came back on New Year's, the day after New Year's. But so on the outbound flight, I saw so many. No, I saw it coming home, Lori.
Because the new effects, it goes in effect the first of the year.
Yeah. So just watch out for that, people.
So people were taking their last trip with their animal that they didn't have to pay.
Yeah, there was a little corgi, and I'm like, how is that thing not pooping and peeing everywhere? But they're cute, you know. People are doing it. All right, we've got random facts when we come back.
Didn't we just have some very random facts?
This was animal.
It was Animal Kingdom,
Soothing Animal Kingdom.
There you go.
Thank you, Rocco.
Here's your Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom theme.
Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
There's Lori in her safari outfit.
Yes, going in the Serengeti.
Julia hunting down a lion, taking him down.
Yep, Lori's saying, Julia, go get it. I'll just wait back here.
Can we stop? I've got to pee. Keep a lookout.
All right, we'll be right back with Random Thoughts. You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. Okay, today is National Cuddle Day. If anyone needs to cuddle or a hug.
Cuddle. Okay.
It's a cuddling day, people. All right, so if you follow us on Instagram at Lori A-N-D Julia, we posted today, we got this old promo card, Rocco. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I'll go
from when we were My Talk, Real Life Conversation, FM 107, when we first started. And our second year on the air, Minnesota Monthly Magazine wanted to do a photo shoot and a story on us. And they wanted to wrap us in caution tape. And we were wore bathing suits underneath. I told Lori, bring all the pearls and decadent things you can have so we'll deck ourselves out in caution tape. And then they just, you know, canceled out the bathing suits.
We'll look like we're naked, but we won't
be. But we really are.
And you told me to wear pantyhose.
I did.
We're going to want to have pantyhose on, you said.
It was a good idea.
You were thinking like Kim Kardashian, like future
girl.
Skims mogul.
Right. So we posted that today, and it was, that was on our first billboard, and it was Shock Without the Jock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, weekdays from 3 to 6 on FM 107.1. So we get that today.
Maybe Jock Without the Shock?
Shock Without the Shock. That was it.
Okay.
No, I think it was opposite. Maybe. It was Shock Without the Jock.
Were you a jock that was not shocking, or were you... Shocking, but not wearing a jock.
No, we were shocking, but not radio DJ jocks.
Yeah.
Because it's talk radio.
Okay.
So boy, then, when the blondes are explaining to Rocco that's really, that's a moment.
Thank you.
That is. But look at us. I mean, I've got dark, short hair. Lori, whatever.
I hadn't discovered blowouts.
You hadn't, because once you did, that's all we heard about for the last 14 years.
Yeah.
And so at the same time, we get that from a listener today.
You got a picture of that? Like, hey, girls, remember that?
I got that in a text today.
Okay.
And then at the same time, my very first email when I come to work, hey, is it time for a facelift or a neck lift from a local plastic surgeon? And I thought, is the universe telling us something? Because we don't look like we used to. So anyway, that's posted if you want to see something. Other things that are happening out there is the Michael Jackson Neverland Ranch has finally been sold. It has been on the market since 2015.
That's a long time.
Originally, they were asking for $100 million.
It's in the middle of nowhere. Right.
But they sold it for $22 million.
Wow.
So how this even came to be is it's located on the edge of a national forest. Michael Jackson first saw the ranch in 1983 when he visited Paul McCartney, who was staying there filming the video. Remember they did Ebony and Ivory?
Oh, Black and White?
Wasn't it Ebony and Ivory?
Maybe, but I remember them in the carriage. Rocco?
Okay, what's the question?
What was the video that Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson did? Wasn't it?
Well, they had a couple songs. They had Say, 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 and they had
Ebony and Ivory.
Well, Ebony and Ivory was with Stevie Wonder.
Okay,
The Girl Is Mine was with Michael Jackson.
But somehow they were in a hayride. They were taking a hayride.
I think that's Say, Say, Say.
Say, Say, Say. So that's the video. That's when he first saw it, and then he bought it. And it's finally been sold. And the guy who bought it is Ron Burkle, a billionaire businessman. He's also bought, if you've been to Palm Springs and you've seen Bob's Hope spaceship home.
And
it's
I
only
have.
116 miles from L.A.
Yeah, it's not
but
that
there's
far.
Nothing around it,
right.
Really.
You have to hike to it.
Yeah.
And avoid snakes and lizards and stuff. But I've done it.
You have?
To the Bob Hope one?
To the Bob Hope one.
So
it's pretty neat. Yeah.
It's very cool. That one's in Palm Springs. And this guy's also bought the Frank Lloyd Wright Maya Revival Ennis House in Los Angeles.
My God. And what does he do?
He owned the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, okay.
Penguins. And Mountain Dew has launched their first watermelon sugar.
No
the
way.
Year.
A watermelon drink?
It's a watermelon drink, and they think it's inspired by watermelon sugar. So Mountain Dew, it's their first permanent flavor in over 10 years, and it's pink, and it's Mountain Dew Major Melon. And it comes in zero, and it comes with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the marketing on it. So here's what the marketing is. Watermelon is a truly transportive taste, evoking feelings of freedom and nostalgia. And we found watermelon to be the number one choice of flavors tested amongst their fans. The Mountain Dew Major Melon is our answer for those who are looking for a refreshing change to keep them invigorated all day long.
I love watermelon.
I think this one might be good. I mean, we don't drink pop.
But I had such a hard... I mean, I love Watermelon Rita, which was the Budweiser product. Yeah. I love Watermelon Bubblicious.
You do.
Watermelon, those little hard candies.
I do, too.
Yeah, the Jolly Rancher.
Jolly Rancher. It's the only decent Jolly Rancher is the watermelon.
Right. So watch for a big Mountain Dew Major Melon ad, because last year Mountain Dew at the Super Bowl had the ad starring Bryan Cranston and Tracy Ellis Ross spoofing The Shining.
Vodka in a watermelon, straws inserted. That's delicious.
Oh, look at you.
Did you ever do that?
Like, I think you're just this Harry Styles thing has gone too far.
Do you think so? She is obsessed.
I think that's the only reason she likes this watermelon Mountain Dew.
No, but she likes stories of watermelon. I absolutely love it. I started liking it. I hated the seeds. I hated spitting out the seeds. So when the seedless ones came about, I thought they're fun. I'm a pineapple girl.
Yeah.
That's more my thing.
When we moved to Japan, I was stunned to find out that there were all kinds of watermelons, and there were little watermelons, and there were no watermelon with seeds, because I just had been used to Minnesota watermelon.
I hated spitting them out.
They had different colored ones. They were so cute. They do a lot of watermelon candy.
Right.
In Japan, you know, they like you could get little tiny, they were the cutest watermelons ever. I would just beg my mom, let's go to
like
a
gourds,
market.
Almost like the gourds.
Yes.
But so they're a watermelon because the gourds I always thought were so cute. So my mom would decorate the cornucopia with the gourds coming out on the table all the time growing up. I loved it. So, Vianita ice cream cakes, do you guys remember those?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
came in a loaf. It was a loaf ice cream cake.
Yeah.
And it's whipped cream and chocolate and it has something crunchy in it. They're coming
back. It was almost like a profiterole.
But without that hard outside.
It was all whipped cream and ice cream.
Okay. They're coming back, people.
Are they?
After 30 years, Good Humor has announced they're bringing them back.
I wish Rye Krisp would come back.
No kidding. Lori,
speaking of,
they were made right here.
Those went away?
They went away and they were made right up the street from us, Rocco. It was so sad.
Okay, I did not know this.
Yeah. It was good. And then I'm just telling you, there's a new app, a dating app out today called Go Getter. And it's the newest app for active, like-minded singles. And you can find compatibility you never thought possible with someone who's committed to a living, healthy, fitness lifestyle. But you have to pay. So the deal is you pay for your matches. And people think if you have skin in the game, GOGETTER.
All one word.
.com.
Well, I got a song.
Yep. And if you pay with digital currency, it costs you about $1 a match. And they think if you have skin in the game, you're going to have a better relationship. So we'll see what happens there.
Oh, there it is. GoGetterDating.com.
Oh, is it?
You got to put it.
Yeah, dating.com.
And I did not know that there's drama at Rye Krisp.
Oh, those have been gone for years. We got a whole case.
And somebody's trying to bring it back, but there's lawsuits.
It is Wednesday. Julia's been delighted all day long to find out it's Wednesday. You've asked me at least twice today. Is today only Tuesday? And you're always delightfully surprised when I go, no, why, it is now hump day. It is Wednesday.
Oh, my God. That makes me so happy.
It is a delight to find out. You've somehow missed it.
Yes.
Okay, so late night last night, well, the LA guys are back at home.
Yeah, they are.
Jimmy Kimmel's in his basement.
They don't have basements.
Well, whatever. It looks like a paneled basement. It looks like something out of his home.
It's his office.
Julia, when you've got paneling and
the bench.
Chintz print.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's
a room off his kitchen.
It looks like a real old deck.
Yeah. And he was wearing Levi's.
Yeah.
He's really... He hates being home.
He does.
He's just disgusted.
Yeah, because he was home for so long. Conan isn't back yet, but Fallon is still going into the theater. And over on Stephen Colbert's shows last night... She did not do that much press. We've not released Anya Taylor-Joy, who's a star of The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yes.
And people have continued to love that and watch that.
I saw who the guest was, and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are, so I didn't watch it.
Yeah, and so she was really cool. She was really quite delightful. Couch people first became aware of her on this fantasy series called Atlantis. And then she was in this horror movie called The Witch.
Ooh.
And then I can't remember. She might have been in, I think she was in Emma, which is the remake of Emma. And that came out right when right when everything locked down, like back in March. And it is available on Netflix and has gotten good reviews. And if you're missing Bridgerton, you might want to check out Emma, and Anya is in it, completely unrecognizable from The Queen's Gambit. But she had kind of a fun chat with Stephen Colbert. So let's listen.
Did you know that it was a sensation? How did you learn that suddenly this had caught fire?
I mean, honestly, I think I'm still learning it, because when I first, you know, when the show first came out, I was filming something else in Ireland, and I was barefoot on the side of a mountain in the freezing cold, and I would just come back to my apartment and my phone would blow up and it would say, oh, you know, people really like the show, but it wasn't real for me. I was too isolated. And then when I came back home to London, I went for a walk with my mask and my beanie, and the amount of people that stopped me from just this, I honestly couldn't believe it. And I think it's going to take some time to get used to, but luckily everyone's so kind. You know, they just really enjoyed the show and they want to talk about Beth, and I am up for that. So, yeah.
That show is so good.
Yeah, really one of the 10.
It's fun hearing, her voice.
Isn't it? Okay, yes. Here she is I can't remember what's next.
Did you have any idea that people were going to be so gripped by the story of a chess master? It seems like an unlikely hit, doesn't it?
I mean, I think, if I'm being completely honest, when I first read the book, I was so in love with Beth instantly. And I think people follow passion. So I felt impassioned by chess when I finished reading the book. However, that being said, I think there's thinking something will go down well, and then there's the mind-boggling numbers that you've just, you know, discussed with me. So I don't think any sane person prepares for something like that.
Because, wow. I mean, that's like over the 50 million people have watched it, kind of a mark. And then one of the things that became a delight on Queen's Gambit as you watched it and as the story unfolds is her fashion. The clothes that she wore, and it's 60s.
Love.
It's amazing. Love. So here she's talking about her clothes.
Everybody loves the period fashion of the show, and I'm old enough to remember when it was new, but those costumes are so beautiful that you get to wear. Where did you get them? Were those designed for you, or are those original vintage costumes?
It's a combination. I was so lucky to work with the wonderful Gabrielle Binder, and she and I got along with the house on fire immediately. And we had a very similar way of working, where she respected that I was so close to Beth that we would put on the clothes, and immediately if my body would just reject it, it would be gone. So a lot of them are vintage pieces, and then a lot of them she created with the show particularly in mind.
These are just lovely. Do you get to keep these?
Well, this is what's so crazy, because Gabrielle and I worked so closely together. At the end of the show, she just came up to me and said, honestly, babe, they're yours. You know, we found them together, and you, Beth, the line is very blurry. You should just take them home. And I was overwhelmed by that kindness, because I really, you know, wanted to keep a bit of Beth with me. However, the show is so successful, those clothes are currently in a museum. So I do not know when I will get my clothes back.
That's
plus,
really
if
fun.
You wore those on the street, I think you might be recognized.
Honestly, I've been thinking about this a lot, because obviously they're so beautiful, but I actually cannot wear them outside because people will think I have lost my mind and I may never get hired for another job again. So these beautiful costumes will parade around in my room for my own enjoyment.
They really are that lovely. But my thing with some of that 60s stuff, or some of those old, those fabrics are so itchy. I mean, the wool, they use so much wool.
Julia.
Oh, I would just be itching myself crazy. I remember some of my mom's old stuff, and I just itch.
I have an itchy wool dress story for you.
Do you? I mean,
because I was a girl in the fourth grade in the late 60s.
Okay.
And I had a mod wool dress on, and I remember it vividly. The top of it was white, cream.
Yeah.
And then from the bust down, it was like a nice mustard. And I believe I inherited it from my Aunt Janet, who's 4 years older.
Right.
And I had my white go-go boots at the ankle.
Oh, cute.
Because my dad said no knee boots.
Yep.
And we were taking the Iowa Basic learning test.
Okay.
Where you filled in the holes.
Yep.
Rocco, I don't even know if kids do those.
They
anymore.
Do, yeah. But they're called ACTs now in different
names. But in grade school.
Yeah, I remember in grade school, filling in the holes with the pencil.
And you couldn't go to the bathroom. And I remember, and I had tights on, and there was no going to the bathroom, and Mrs. Zanna said that, you know, my teacher, she wasn't my beehive teacher, she was the fourth grade teacher, a little bit
meaner. I don't know what beehive means.
A beehive hairdo. My third grade teacher had a beehive, so I was enamored.
Yeah, a lot of the poofy hair back when we were in school.
So it was,
or a veil.
I really had to pee. Now, you know, I've been like a light bladdered girl. I just, for
we
a long
We have
time,
delicate bladders, you
delicate
and I.
Delicate bladders. Can't go to the bathroom. So I just let it go in my wood chair. Remember those things had a little dip?
They did you know what it's like to curve out for your fanny.
Yeah. Well, that dress was so thick.
So absorbent.
And so absorbent. It completely absorbed
the pee
and no one knew that I peed except for me and maybe my teacher,
right,
when I walked up, because the bottom half of the dress is mustard,
so it just kind of blended
yellow
in
colored.
It just right. And it didn't, and it was so, but it was so itchy, and I was just dying, and I couldn't wait to get home and tell my mom. And then watched Dark Shadows, because I knew she'd let me watch Dark Shadows that day. It was such a traumatic thing. But I went to the bathroom, and that is, I guess, the first time I
peed your pants.
Threw away, well, not only peed my pants, but threw away my underwear and my tights in a public restroom.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, think of how absorbent it is. So
it
there was
so
there was,
itchy, but that was the benefit of that thick dress.
Oh, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I probably got a rash on the back of my leg or whatever.
Right.
You know, from sitting then in my dress with no underwear for the rest of the day. And no one thought anything to ask me. But I told my mom when I got home.
Right.
What I did. And she said, I think that's terrible. They don't let you go to the bathroom. I'm like, no one can go to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
We've had some good pee stories on this show.
Oh, Rocco.
Remember Britney's in Iraq, and now we've got this one in the wool dress.
Oh, Britney's when she got, they pulled over with guns. No, that was a nightmare one.
Julia,
yeah.
You're next.
Oh, trust me, I've had I've shared them in the past. I don't know.
They're a dime a dozen.
They really are, and we've even had poop ones, but we don't need to get into all that today, but yeah.
How about this one, though?
Okay.
So people are...
That Queen's Gambit is really fun. And the clothes just keep getting...
So good.
More and more fabulous as she gets into herself. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I would also like to give a shout out to this show before it disappears from...
Netflix?
Yeah.
Because you know what's disappeared? And my little sister and her daughter are devastated. Marabou and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip Girl. It just left. They would watch it nonstop.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And you can find Gossip Girl now on, I want to say Peacock, but Peacock.
I'm looking at it here, maybe HBO Max.
Yeah, that's where the reboot's going.
Oh, right. Okay, but that old Gossip Girl, because we watched a couple of those while I was in Montana.
And it's weird how sometimes shows will become a hit on a streaming service for whatever reason. So this show wasn't really a big hit when it aired. Donnie and I watched it. You might have tried to watch it because it had our boyfriend Taylor Kitsch in it.
Oh, yeah. What is
Waco.
It? Oh, I watched Waco.
About David Koresh.
Yeah, I watched two of them.
Yeah, Donnie and I watched the whole thing, and it was like an 8-episode, The Branch Davidians. Rocco, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. Kieran McCulkin is in it. It was really good. True event. So it has been on Netflix.
Got it.
And it's going to be... going away, and it's basically depicts the 93 standoff of the Branch Davidians, and Taylor Kitsch plays David Koresh, and he's absolutely amazing.
And is this just landing on Netflix now?
It's been on Netflix, but it's going away, and there's been a lot of good stuff, so... but that's where it aired on the Paramount, and it found a larger audience, but... Anyway, it's
You're right. It says it's going away on Jan 16.
Yeah.
Wow, so right away. Okay.
You got some time. I think it's only in a...
Four parts.
Yeah, it's not that long.
No.
And the source came
Six.
From the two characters' autobiography. So there's real tension in the fighting for the viewer's sympathy, and it even makes watching it a bit of a moral dilemma, but it's excellent.
It was good. I think I did three.
Yeah.
I probably made it three in. You know what's on tonight that I am going to watch is Name That Tune. It's the reboot with Jane Krakowski.
Krakowski
is hosting it, and then Randy Dog.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be
promoting.
And we ran into Randy at the Indianapolis airport, if you remember, on the way home from the Kentucky Derby.
I do. And just before we go to Hollywood Speak, this is from Alita. And this was on our radar, but I don't think we're subscribing to CBS All Access. It's Mark Cherry's show, Why Women Kill.
Oh,
and
such a thing.
Alida is just like, this is an awesome show.
Why I know Women Kill.
Yeah.
CBS All Access, I mean, because they had The Good Wife and then The Good Fight, which was so good. But then I only had the access for once.
Yeah.
Summer.
Anyway, so if you have CBS All Access, Alida said this is a must watch. We would
tell
love
us
it.
Why Women Kill.
All right.
Did you guys watch, I think it comes out today, the History of Swear Words with Nicolas Cage.
Okay, so that I kind of want to watch.
Yeah.
I've read Slate.com liked it. LA Times did not. Vulture seems to be halfway, so we'll see.
All Here's right. the joke.
We got to go. It's
oh, okay.
To
All right.
We'll be right back.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
Julia, let's do it.
Okay, so here's the deal. So I got this in my inbox last night at 11:42 p.m. from Pamela Greenwald, who is head of SAG-AFTRA organization, the SAG. And the AFTRA was the acting thing, and they combined forces, New York and L.A., and this is for actors and people in entertainment world, and this is what it said. Their statement on awards show scheduling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles, January 5th. We are extremely disappointed to hear the conflicting date, March 14th, announced today for this year's Grammy Award telecast. We announced the same date for the SAG Awards last July with the intent to give the greatest possible scheduling consideration for other award shows.
Mm-hmm.
We expect the same consideration from sister organizations throughout the industry. And then it just goes blah, 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 blah. And it says, our two organizations, SAG-AFTRA and the Recording Academy, share members and work together effectively to advocate for artists in many areas in an environment that is increasingly challenging for the televised award programs. We also have a mutual interest in successfully showcasing the artistry and talent of our respective memberships. Mm-hmm. We are in contact with the Recording Academy and will continue to work with our sister organization to find ways to make sure this award season is as successful as possible.
They're asking the Grammys if they will please hold their award on Saturday of that weekend
instead
and let them have Sunday so they don't have to take Saturday.
I mean, that's kind of it's a Bigfoot move, as we learned earlier, right, Rocco?
They're Bigfooting it.
They're Bigfoot. I mean,
CBS is Bigfooting NBC because CBS got Bigfooted by ABC.
And the SAGs are on TNT, TBS.
Yes, so owned they're not, by NBC.
Right. So anyway,
they're getting Bigfooted and they're not happy about it. And they put it in as nice a flowery language as they could.
Right.
But they're not happy about
a major award
show. The Grammys, first of all, being so lackadaisical. Lackadaisical that even at the beginning of December, when California basically went into a lockdown,
right,
that they were going, hey, how are we going to do an award show in two months?
Right.
And yes, you know what they could have done? They could have done a thing where they had the performances be at... One's at the Troubadour, one's at this place, you know, different venues. They could have made a decision to go that way. They stuck their heads in the sand and decided, no, this is all going to be blowing over. And no, why wouldn't we be able to have it January 31st at the Staples Center?
Right.
I mean, this is just real poor planning. It's what the Grammys have kind of come to be known for. Very messy, very arrogant, very
don't care about anyone else. And I think
you would have thought they'd been more sensitive given that they got big-footed by the Oscars on their night. And then that had a remember they had to move to after the Super Bowl.
When was that, like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Everyone, because the Oscars decided they were going to up their airing a month.
I mean, the fact that the Grammys said, actually could say that they came to this decision after thoughtful, quote-unquote, conversations with health experts. They could have been having thoughtful conversations at the beginning of December. That is the time to have thoughtful conversations, not on January 5th.
Right.
A mere 24 days. That's not thoughtful. That's called an organization that's running around like a chicken with its head cut off, which I have seen in the movies. They do run around for a minute.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right? Okay. Alec Baldwin wishes his wife, Hilaria, a happy 37th birthday on Instagram.
Did he do it in Spanish?
No. Julia. Very good.
I can't speak Spanish, so I can't even say. I was going to say, hola, Hilaria.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. I don't know how to speak Spanish, so I couldn't even say it.
Feliz
años.
Cumpleaños.
I mean, I wish I could have said that.
I wish you would have just done it.
I can't speak Spanish. Uno, dos, tres.
Happy birthday to the love of my life, the only person in the world who brings me joy and peace every day, the person who is my home, my everything. Anyway, to Hollywood speak this. I know Alec, he knows that Instagram is like breathing to Hilaria. She's documented all of her children. You know, there's no privacy.
It is like breathing.
But for this particular birthday, and because there will be all kinds of people wishing
I would not have done this out loud.
Happy birthday. This of all years.
This of all years is a day to. It's a day to go silent.
Put it in a card. Say it to her.
Why do people need to do it out loud? Why does it have to be public?
Because now you just know he's getting trolled.
Yeah, he is. Of course, he is. Yeah, you know, people are saying
it. Well, he was this morning, and then things took away. People were like, "Oh, wait, there's really something going on." But I'm just saying, this morning that wasn't helping her.
No.
Okay. Here's another one. The HBO documentary on Tiger Woods starts on Sunday. I've seen trailers for it.
Does it look good? Oh. Is it brutal?
No. You know what? It looks good because he has an amazing story.
He does have an amazing story.
He has an amazing story.
He was on Merv Griffin when he was like 4 or 3 years old.
Yeah. He really has an
interesting... He was a prodigy.
Yeah. He has an interesting life and he's come on the other side of it.
Yep.
You know? And so the trailers... looks really good, and I think it's just like a 3 or 4 parter and getting pretty good reviews, and he's cooperating. He's doing, he cooperated with this.
Okay.
But what do you think that the fact that the Tiger Woods documentary is coming out, what do you think is happening possibly around some of the gossip places?
Rachel Yucatan, his host, I saw that she's in the news. That came out last week.
They're calling all the mistresses.
They're calling. He was a whale, and
that's how we first learned
about whales, which were the heavy rollers that would just have mistresses lining up on the strip.
High rollers.
Thank you. Heavy. What I call them?
Heavy rollers.
Rachel Yucatan Peninsula.
Bigger people.
It isn't Rachel Yucatan.
Yucatel. Oh well.
Yeah. Anyway,
so
you were hilarying there for a second.
I'm only just this
and
close.
She was one of a dozen women that was identified as his mistresses, but
it
she was the one
on Thanksgiving Day. When Elin chased her husband out of the house with a golf club.
Here's what she said.
I was in Montana.
Yeah, she says Tiger preferred her company because she would ask questions about his life, unlike his wife. Now, what guy who hasn't been fooling around with somebody doesn't say, I like you so much better because you talk to me.
You pay attention to me.
I mean, that is the oldest story in the book. Jeez.
I want to watch that, though. I've always loved Tiger Woods. I can't help it.
Yeah, I don't believe anything that she has to say as the mistress.
Right.
you know.
Did you see the guy who she's having the affair with? Oh, holy fugly.
Yeah. All right.
And he's married.
Yeah.
Oops.
It's a thing she likes.
Yeah, I guess.